Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your holy word. We're thankful for this day, a day of that you have given us physical refreshing of rain. And Lord, we anticipate a physical and spiritual refreshing by the washing of water by your word. Your word is eternal. Your word is a love letter to mankind. And as we open it and read it, we pray for a blessing. We pray that our ears and our hearts would be opened and unstopped so that we can drink in the refreshing and be changed. Do more than we can ask. And we want to pray this all in the mighty, matchless name of the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Loved ones, if you can turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, I'll give some a little background. We don't always have to give background about why we choose Scripture. We really do try to rely on the Holy Spirit. But there's some incidents that have happened lately that really led me, and Holy Spirit is leading me to Colossians chapter 3. And I wish to read just the first portion of the Scripture. In fact, probably just the first three or maybe four verses. In this part of the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Colossians, this is what he writes. He says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." And I'd like to stop there just briefly. A little bit of motivation. On November 1st, just last month, our own brother Ben led a Bible discussion in our midweek Bible study. This is Wednesday, November 1st. The focus was on the first 11 verses of Colossians chapter 3. And his theme was living with a focus. And that's sort of the theme that I'd like to point out for this morning also, although I'll name it a little bit differently a little later on. But little did anyone know that on the very next day, an event would happen that would, I would say, startle the world. On that very next day, Thursday, November 2, a cryptocurrency news service puts out an article talking about making some observations about a particular company. This company is FTX. It's one of the major cryptocurrency exchanges. And by the way, if you're into cryptocurrency, that's fine. If you're not, that's fine too. But FTX is the name of the trading exchange. And the article basically said, you know, you need to be a little bit careful here because there's a related company called Alameda Research. And it almost appears like the money that's in Alameda Research, which was largely the coin currency of FTX, that's called FTT, it almost looks like somebody is using investors' money as they are exchanging their cryptocurrency and buying into cryptocurrency, particularly FTT. It almost looks like that money is... the money that's represented by the cryptocurrency is being used as collateral for investment in these other companies like Alameda Research. In other words, Alameda Research, almost all of its holdings were in FTT, this cryptocurrency. Probably not a safe thing to do, maybe could even be risky. I'm just summarizing what the article said. In any event, that article sort of started a panic. And the CEO of FTX was trying to let everybody know, it's like, no, we have sufficient funds. This is, the article is, you know, it is what it is, right? But on November 6, one of the largest holders of FTX's cryptocurrency, which is FTT, Binance, is a rival exchange, sold $500 million worth of FTT coin. That started a panic for other investors who started pulling out their money from the FTX exchange. And the CEO is still saying, no, we've got enough reserves, don't worry. In fact, there's a discussion with Binance to possibly buy FTX. So, you know, things are looking good. Very next day, I think after that announcement, Binance basically says, you know what? No, we're not going to do it. We're out of the picture. Long story short, panic, frenzy on the part of investors to pull out their money from this exchange, all the crypto and currency investment, right? Cryptocurrency. November 10, assets are frozen. No one can withdraw out any money. Very next day, November 11, FTX files for bankruptcy. In a little over a week, such volatility has happened where people have lost millions, if not billions, of dollars. The CEO of FTX, by the way, who at one time was valued at $21 billion, is pretty much near zero. And it happened so quickly. And by the way, I was reading a Revelation 18 last night, and it's amazing. I'm not going to read it here. I almost feel like I should. But if you read Revelation 18, which talks about the fall of the world system, and John the Revelator was inspired to write in the name Babylon for that world system, how quickly the world system has fallen. Read Revelation 18 when you get home. And if you know anything about FTX, draw a little parallel there. If you don't, look it up really quickly, because the similarities are astounding. And if you didn't think that the global economy could go down as quickly as FTX went down in a matter of 8 or 9 days, it's going to make you start thinking. What can I purchase in the here and now that will hold its value? What can I invest in that will have a lasting value? Today. Because when you see incidents and when you read about incidents like FTX, it really makes you wonder, and it makes you think and realize how fleeting and how volatile things are happening in this generation, like no other. Yes, we had a stock market crash in 1929, and it took a certain amount of time to do that, and the repercussions. I will tell you right now that the effect of that and the repercussions and the impact of something like that now, like with FTX, can happen way more quickly than ever before. So what can I invest in that has a lasting value that will hold throughout all this volatility? You know, I did some research, by the way, and if you take a look and you do some Googling or you look at some of the documents that have come out from, let's say, the experts in the economic industry, you'll take a look at the top companies that are valued in the world. And the top five are probably no surprise to many of you, right? Top five companies in the world right now, in terms of their valuation, in terms of their market capitalization, are these. Apple, number one. $2+ trillion market capitalization. In fact, the first three companies I'm going to mention all have a value, market cap of over $2 trillion. A huge number. Apple, number one. Saudi Aramco, number two. Microsoft, number three. All of those companies, each one has a valuation of over $2 trillion. Next two, Alphabet, who owns Google, close to $2 trillion. And lastly, Amazon, close to $2 trillion. Amazon, close to little over $1 trillion. Those are the top five companies. And they're good companies, right? Now, I'm not giving investment advice from the pulpit by any means. But if you wanted to place your money in a good company, those would be good companies. They're the largest in the world. But maybe that's not good enough. Maybe you need a different list. Maybe the largest isn't always the best. Maybe it's the oldest that have been here for a while and have longevity, companies that have been here for maybe 100 or more years. And if you look at those kind of companies, you'll look at things like JP Morgan Chase, you'll look at Exxon, you'll look at Johnson & Johnson, Procter & Gamble, just to name a few. Every single one of those companies have been around for at least 100 years. If you want to put your, and by the way, those companies, those four that I just mentioned, they're in the top 25 of top valued world companies, market cap. Oh, so I got the best of both worlds. Huge market capitalization and oldest longevity companies, right? That sounds like a good investment. But it's not just companies that you could invest in, right? What about assets like precious metals? Oh, well, when you add those into the mix, the list changes a little bit. Number one, valued asset, when you're looking at companies and precious metals, gold. Not surprising, $12 trillion valuation in the world, $12 trillion. Silver, by the way, comes in at number five at $1.3 trillion. Palladium, I think, is number 26 at somewhere down there, half a billion maybe. I can't remember. So precious metals, okay, that's those things are finite. They're here. They're stable. Maybe that's a good investment. But you can find other lists, like what am I missing? And you know, there's more to life than just companies and precious metals. Oh, what about land? Oh, that should probably be number one. And it's very difficult to put a number, a market cap, if you will, or valuation on land, because all of Earth is land and somebody owns the land. But if you add it all together, it would be way more than $12 trillion. And real estate does typically hold its value over time. But there's one item that should be in the list that you'll never ever find in a list of top investment choices. You can Google all you want to, but there's one thing that's always should be at the top, and you'll never see it mentioned on a list of top companies, top assets, top holdings. And that is Jesus Christ. If the world could create a company where Jesus was the CEO, and we'll call that company hypothetically Redemption Incorporated, because Jesus said, I came to earth, I came here to seek and to save that which is lost. I came to redeem those who are lost. Hypothetically, we'll call that company Redemption Incorporated. Jesus Christ is the CEO. And what's the market cap? This is the reason why Redemption Incorporated will never be on the top of any list, because we can't calculate the market capitalization. Redemption is priceless. And there's nothing, there's no financial instrument or measurement that can calculate the market capitalization for a company like that, who is in the business of saving souls. Where do I focus my investment? Because the Bible is clear that there are treasures in heaven. We just read it. The Apostle Paul is encouraging us to seek those things that are above and set your affection on the right hand of the throne of God, where Christ is sitting. It's all about Christ. If you read Colossians, it's all about Christ. In him, by him, for him, with him. Everything hinges on Jesus Christ. And it's very interesting, loved ones, to see the words that the Apostle Paul is using here. I'm going to go to verse number 3. And it's very interesting. It's almost paradoxical the way the Apostle Paul says it, at least in the King James Version, because it's the Apostle Paul says, you are dead, but your life is hid in Christ. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. I'm not a linguistics expert. I know I dabble in the Greek language. I have to look these things up, right? But I love looking up the Greek words, hid. That word is very interesting. It's one of the reasons why I'm talking to you about FTX and the meltdown, is because cryptocurrency, that word crypto, that's exactly the word that is used for hid or hide. In fact, let me go to chapter 2, companion verse 3 there, talks about Christ, and verse 3 says in chapter 2, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That word hid, by the way, is also related to crypto. In fact, that word is apocrypha, so apocrypt, if you will, hidden away. So in Christ is hidden away all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Well, if you want to invest something, that's where the treasure is, right? Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. In Christ, the vault, the crypt, if you will, so the word, hid, hide. Everything is in Christ. All the treasures, all the lasting treasures, right? Where gold and silver and all those precious assets that you could hold as an investment, when this world ends and melts with the fervent heat, they will be gone. They will perish. The Bible is clear about that. But things that are done for Christ, that are done in His name, my investment in Christ, that will withstand the volatile time. Those things will hold its value. So if I were to summarize what we just read in the first three or four verses of Colossians, I'll reread them again because I think it's important. If you then be risen with Christ, and by the way, the Apostle Paul's not trying to be hypothetical here. He's not trying to say, hey, if you are, then, you know, it's not a hypothetical if. It's like you are risen in Christ. So you should be seeking by nature, by natural, because you're risen in Christ, you should be seeking those things that are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Focus on Christ. Focus living. Aim high and aim toward Christ. Set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. For ye are dead, and your life, your identity, your existence, your value, your valuation is hid, encrypted. That's where we get the word encrypted, crypt. Your life, all of that, valuation, identity, existence is hid in Christ, in God, hid with Christ in God. And then it says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. You know what that means? That basically says, you know what? Right now you might not see the return on your investment in Christ. But when he returns the second time to reap the earth, you will share in the wealth of his glory. That's what the Apostle Paul is painting the picture of, loved ones. If I had to summarize these first three or four verses, and if I would do it in the modern vernacular, excuse me, this is what the Apostle Paul would be saying. He would be saying, don't be schizophrenic about your investment. And I'll say that again because it sounds funny, but literally, almost to the Greek is what he's saying. Don't be schizophrenic about your investing. Why am I using the word schizophrenic? Because when I look at verse 2 and it says, set your affection, those three English words really amount to one Greek word, and that's phren, or phreneo in this case, but phren is the word for mind. Mind those things above. Set your focus, your mind's focus, your aim, exclusively on things above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Mind. And by the way, that's where we get the word frenzy, frantic, frenetic. Fren, mind. Mind. Well, schizophrenia is split mind. And we know there's different forms of schizophrenia, but basically, in short, it's a detachment of the mind from reality, if you will. And so the Apostle Paul says, don't split your mind between the things above and things here on the earth. And in not so direct a way, Jesus, there were many incidents in the New Testament where the Holy Spirit is encouraging us not to have a split mind about our investment. couple cases come to mind. Jesus is sitting in a synagogue one day, and he's by the treasury, and he's observing how people are putting money into the treasury. And he happens to talk to his disciples. He says, you know, I'm observing this. Like, notice. Notice how there's some people, you know, rich and poor coming in, right? And the rich, they're giving a lot of money into the treasury. But Jesus then says, look at this poor widow woman. She gave two mites. And Jesus explains that, you know, some of these folks are giving out of their abundance, and they're giving a lot. Not going to diss them for that. But I think Jesus is making a point that out of their abundance, they're giving. But this widow is giving all that she has. He says that explicitly. She gave all that she has. And this is a poor widow. What is she doing? She's investing everything into the temple, into God. Wow, am I doing that? Am I even giving on my surplus that God gives me in blessings? I'm not. And this puts me to shame. Loved ones, there's a spiritual economy that Jesus is talking about where he says, give everything and it will be measured to you, even overflowing. Do I really have the faith in that principle? In another passage, God says, you know what? There's riches of the earth, and then there are riches in heaven. There's spiritual riches, right? But he says, you cannot serve two masters, because you're either going to love the one and hate the other, or cling to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot split your mind and heart between both of those. You have to focus, and please focus on the spiritual thing, the godly side, right? One other example comes to mind, the rich young ruler. We talked about in this morning in Bible class, what is the greatest commandment? And we know Jesus' response, right? Jesus responded with two commandments into which are packaged all the other things, all the other commandments that God ever gave. But this rich ruler comes to Jesus at one point, and he asks Jesus, what can I do to lay hold on eternal life? Now, here's someone who is thinking, maybe the question I just asked, what can I invest in that will hold its value, that will last, in this case, forever? What must I do to lay hold on eternal life? And remember what Jesus said? He said, well, you know the commandments, right? Honor thy father and mother, don't bear false witness, do not kill, do not steal. He goes, rattles off the commandments. And remember what the rich young ruler says? He says, well, all these I kept from my youth. What am I still lacking? And remember Jesus' response? He says, sell all that you have. Give to the poor. You shall have treasures in heaven. And then come follow me. In a sense, Jesus saying, you know, your focus has been on this so far. Get rid of all that and exchange it for heavenly treasures, and come and put your focus and follow me. Put your focus on me. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying here in this particular scripture. Let's not be schizophrenic about our investing. We know that what we do in Christ, for Christ, is going to last. It has eternal value. In fact, I'm thinking, and I'll probably read it a little bit later, I did think of the poem. It's called One Life. I think it's called One Life. I'll look it up in a second. It was actually, I think Brother Dushko has mentioned this a couple times, that in the Wesley home, there was a little plaque above, I think, the kitchen door that said, one life to live, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. What a companion message to the message that the Apostle Paul has given here, right? Christ is the treasure vault. And whatever we do for him and for his name's sake, with a sincere heart, will last through eternity. And that was the essence of the poem that I'd like to read. Hebrews 13:8 comes to mind, loved ones, that says, you know what? Christ is not volatile. God's goodness is not volatile. He is steady. He is stable. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, simply Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. Can't put a valuation on that because we can't measure it, but if we could, it would be stable. It would rise up. It would never go down. So I leave you with that inspiration, if you will, from the Apostle Paul's. Let's not be schizophrenic. Let's not split our mind between the things of this earth and the heavenly things, because we know, loved ones, don't we have the faith that whatever we do in Christ, whatever we invest in for his name's sake, whether it's charity, mission front, our own church, whatever it is, will last forever and be remembered forever as a token of our love for God because he loved us first. I want to leave you with that poem. It was actually written not by Wesley, but by a missionary named Charles Studd. And I'm going to read the whole poem. That refrain keeps repeating over and over again, I think no less than 8 times. One life to live, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. And here's that only one life poem. I'll leave you with this for our meditation this morning. Two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart and from my mind would not depart. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then, in that day, my Lord to meet and stand before his judgment seat. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, the still small voice gently pleads for a better choice, bidding me selfish aims to leave and to God's holy will to cleave. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, a few brief years, each with its burdens, hopes, and fears, each with its days I must fulfill, living for self or in his will. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. When this bright world would tempt me sore, when Satan would a victory score, when self would seek to have its way, then help me, Lord, with joy to say, only one life, 'twill soon be past, only what's done for Christ will last. Give me, Father, a purpose deep in joy or sorrow, thy word to keep, faithful and true, whatever the strife, pleasing thee in my daily life. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, let my love with fervor burn, and from the world now let me turn, living for thee and thee alone, bringing thee pleasure on thy throne. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say, thy will be done. And when at last I'll hear the call, I know I'll say 'twas worth it all. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. May God lay this to my heart and yours as well.